Two of the great debates in the church are addressed in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, which is our text this morning. The first great debate which is addressed in this particular text is the question, which comes first, faith or the new birth? And this is not a chicken and egg question. Some people believe that that's the kind of question it is. But it is not a chicken and egg question. It is a question that deeply impinges upon our understanding of Christianity and upon our own assurance. The second question, which is addressed in this particular passage of Scripture, is the place of the law in Christian faith. And this question is addressed in verse 3 of John, or 1 John chapter 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So we have two questions, really, two sources of debate that rage in the church, and they have raged in the church, literally, for a long time. The question of which comes first, faith or the new birth, and the question of the place of the law in the Christian life. We're obviously not going to exhaust the answers to these questions, as John does not exhaust the answers to these questions in the text which is before us. But we look at those answers in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. As John speaks to these matters, his main concern is assurance. His main concern is continuing to develop his argument regarding our knowing whether or not we, as individuals and as a people, have eternal life. And John continues the pattern which he uses, I believe, pretty consistently throughout this little book. The pattern is one of laying before us Christian truth, and then exploring the evidences that flow from this Christian truth. Christian truth set before us. Then the evidences of this Christian truth operative within each one of our lives. And so let's launch into the text which is before us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. The truth that John sets before us can be stated very simply. The new birth logically precedes faith. This is the truth. The new birth logically precedes faith. This is the import of verse 1 in chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You notice that John does not say, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ will be born of God. He doesn't say that. John says very clearly, very pointedly, and very forthrightly, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is already. I'm adding that word already because I believe it explains the text. It doesn't add to it. It explains what John is saying. Is born of God. We're talking here about genuine faith in Jesus Christ. We're talking about people who make a confession of faith in Jesus, who came in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, entered this world in human form, died on Calvary's cross, was raised again, ascended into heaven, and sits presently at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, where He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And the confession of the Christian is that Jesus is Lord. And the person who believes in this Jesus is the person who says that Jesus is Lord based upon all that He has done. this person, the person who makes such a confession, is the Apostle John, is born of God. And what John is telling us here, the truth that he is laying before us here, is that the new birth logically must precede genuine faith in Jesus Christ, and not only must precede, but actually does precede faith in Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people have more than a little bit of difficulty with this. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Very few people have a problem with the fact that if an individual genuinely loves, genuinely has love and compassion for others, and has a love of God in their heart, very few people have a problem with the fact that this person must be born again. And this is what John says in 1 John 4, verse 7. Everyone who loves is born of God. Now, you don't have a difficulty with that, do you? I'm sure that you don't. I want you to look at the bulletin this morning, the first page of the bulletin, the bottom of the first page of the bulletin. Because I put 1 John 4, 7 and 1 John 5, 1 together at the bottom of the bulletin. 1 John 4, 7, everyone who loves is born of God. We naturally would say, well, you've got to be born again if you really love. Everyone who loves is born of God. It has to be that way. Interestingly enough, if you examine the original language in this little letter, John uses exactly the same words in 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes, we could translate it, everyone who believes, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The two verses are exactly parallel. And if you are prepared to say that everyone who loves has to be born of God already before that love can be expressed, then you also have to say that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ already is born again, has to be born again in order to express that faith in Jesus Christ. This is the truth that is set before us. And it ought to be very plain, and it ought to be very clear to each one of us. Faith precedes, no, that's not right, is it? The new birth precedes faith. That's the way it is. This is the great truth which John sets before us. Now, I want us to look at two or three other passages of Scripture. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. You have been saved, if you are a Christian, by grace, through faith, and that grace and that faith have not come from you. that grace and that faith have come from God. If you so much as say that a little bit of that faith came from yourself, that is a boast. That grace and that faith came from God. It did not come from you. And the reason it came from God is that there would be no room for any one of us to boast that it is my faith that brought me into union with Jesus Christ. No. If you have faith in Jesus Christ, it has come from God. By means of the new birth, which comes before that faith, or else you do not have real saving faith in Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. These are standard texts that we're looking at this morning. But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. To receive Jesus Christ is to believe in Him. There's no great mystery about what it means, or there should not be any great mystery about what it means to receive Jesus Christ. To receive Jesus Christ is to accept who He is and what He has done. It is to believe in Him. It is to trust in Him. And the person who genuinely believes in Jesus Christ and who trusts in Jesus Christ is described in verse 13. These people are people who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was not the decision of a human heart that brought about the new birth, this text is telling us. The new birth must come before faith is exercised. Then look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 3. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Oh yes, those people who lived during the time of Jesus saw Jesus walking around. They could see with their physical eyes that Jesus was walking around, and they saw the crowds that gathered around the Lord Jesus. But did they see who He really was? No. Did they see that He was the Son of God and that His miracles meant that He was a prophet come from God as the King to be followed? No, they didn't see that. You have to be born again. John 3:5 says, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." What does it mean to enter the kingdom? You have to believe in Jesus Christ to enter the kingdom. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, through me." You have to trust in Jesus Christ. But in order to trust in Jesus Christ, you have to be born again. Let's go back to 1 John 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The great truth, dear friends, in this text is that the new birth precedes, comes before faith. Let's get it. Why is this so important? Well, John is going to tell us why this is so important. But let me just go down a sidetrack for a moment. If your faith in Jesus Christ depends upon you, and you falter, which, dear friend, you will, and I will, then your faith in Jesus Christ is not worth much. But if your faith in Jesus Christ is laid upon a solid foundation of the new birth, which is the sovereign work of God, then that faith will not falter. Oh yes, there's going to be ups and downs. But there's all the difference between the foundation of my decision and the foundation of the decision of God. Now let's see how John works this out. Notice that John immediately connects the new birth and faith with love. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know the love we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. Notice that immediately faith and this new birth are conjoined with love. Love becomes one of the great evidences that we really do believe in Jesus Christ and we really have experienced the new birth. But John doesn't stop there. John defines love in a very concrete way. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God. Notice how concretely John lays before us now a definition. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Every time I read this, I become more and more astounded by the fact that the apostle of love, the apostle John, launches into a discussion of the Ten Commandments. In most churches today, when the Ten Commandments are mentioned, the cry legalism is heard. But how does John define love? He says, this is love. That we observe, that we keep His commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. The first commandment. Do you love God? Then you have no other gods before Him. Not house or farm or car. You shall not make for yourself an idol, the second commandment.
my name in this community is too important, and I will maintain it at all costs, even above the name of God. That's idolatry. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You will always hold the name of the Lord your God in an exalted position, because He is the only Savior of men. You see, as I have said before, each of these commandments gives us an opportunity to show God that we love Him. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your bondservant, nor your son, nor your daughter. It's the Sabbath. It's the special day for honoring God. In our society today, it is too much of a burden for most people to set aside 1 hour a week for the worship of the Almighty. But here is a day in which we have an opportunity to show God that we love Him. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. Of course, you know what murder is, don't you? Murder is a premeditated act which does result in the termination of another human life. This country is running in the blood of murder because of abortion. You shall not commit adultery. I wonder why there is such a thing as sexual harassment in our society today. Or harassment, I guess that's the way it's being pronounced. Because we're not taking the seventh commandment seriously. It's an opportunity to show God that we love Him. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We have had a preoccupation in the media this past week in bearing false witness. You shall not covet. Look at verse 3 in 1 John 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Dear friends, following the commandments of God is not a burden. And anyone who says to you that following the Ten Commandments of the living God is too much of a burden is exemplifying a life that is no doubt not a recipient of the new birth. How in the world can a person possibly say,
How can a person possibly say that following the Ten Commandments of God is a burden and be born again? How can that possibly be? For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. All of a sudden now we're back to the concept of faith. What is the faith that comes as a result of the new birth all about? It is a faith that overcomes the world. And how do we overcome the world? We overcome the world, my friends, by following the commandments of God. Any young person that finds themselves in a compromised position and remembers the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery, and says, Lord, I love you and I'm going to follow this commandment by your grace, and walks away from a potential adulterous situation, overcomes the world. And what a great thing that is. You see, it's not so hard for us to understand. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is not a faith that is in a vacuum. There's a popular song in the church. Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. And I want to say, believe in what? It's not just faith, as though you could put faith in a bottle and carry it around. You can't do that. It is faith born in the human heart by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it is a working faith, a faith that follows the commandments of God. And this, my friends, is the victory over the world. And the wonderful thing about this is simply this. That our following the commandments of God in this fashion become a wonderful evidence of the fact that we're born again people. Do you trust Jesus Christ? Do you believe in Him? Do you love Him? There's only one way that that's really a possibility in your life. You must be born again. And if you're really born again, you're like David. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation both day and night. And you follow it. Because Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if this is the case in your life, dear friend, then there's every evidence that you're born again.